Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin. What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this very first edition of Current Sports for 2019. Apologies for the technical difficulties there, but so glad to be back in this chair after taking a few days off, of course, for the holidays, ushering in 2019. I really hope you all had a great one out there. I'm pretty sure many of you Current Sports fans spent a ton of time doing absolutely nothing but watching a lot of sports, all right, including a ton of bowl games. It was a pretty big slate of bowl games happening, of course, on New Year's Day yesterday. And for my Michigan State fans out there, I really hope that yesterday's, I guess you can say, sports slate of college football away from MSU football kind of healed the wounds that we saw on New Year's Eve. Because let's just call it like it is. That was an ugly game that your Spartans had against the Oregon Ducks in the Red Box Bowl out in Santa Clara, California. I've got a lot to say about that game. A lot that I want to get to because, you know, that was a matchup that when you look at how that Michigan State defense played, and you look and compare that to the inept Michigan State offense, it just frustrates you. And I don't know how Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Spartans, how you, as the head coach, evaluate that performance and not say to yourself, there really needs to be some changes. All right, so I'm going to recap the Michigan State Red Box Bowl loss at the hands of the Oregon Ducks. Not tremendously entertaining, folks. I mean, 7-6 was your final. The Michigan State offense failed to score a touchdown. Now, you put that game in perspective. For when closing out the year, that Michigan State offense failed to score a touchdown in three of the final four games of the year. Crazy stuff, all right? So we'll get to that. Also tonight, the Michigan State men's basketball team will be in action. You know, now it's conference play, and it's about handling business now, especially with this incredible 20-game Big Ten schedule that everybody has to play now. It's about getting down to business now for Michigan State men's basketball, and they will play host to the Northwestern Wildcats tonight. Going to be a late start at 8:30 p.m. We'll briefly preview that. And speaking of inept offenses, the Detroit Lions of the National Football League, your Honolulu Blue, they realized that their offense wasn't too hot this past season, and they have made a pretty obvious change at least a change, I think, that is moving in somewhat of a right direction here as the Lions have decided to let go of their offensive coordinator. All right? I think there's some interesting parallels when comparing the Detroit Lions offense and the Michigan State offense. I'll explain later on this hour, and then on the back end of the show, we will close things out with weekend winners. We'll take a look at the holiday weekend that was, and I'll issue a few of my winners and maybe a loser or two from the weekend in sports, the New Year's weekend in sports. But again, Happy New Year to you all. It is 2019 in current sports. We start this year off with a bang. Before we get to all of those topics, you guys know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with that Michigan State football loss at the hands of Oregon in the Red Box Bowl on New Year's Eve on Monday. Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert shook off a sluggish day and threw a touchdown pass to Dylan Mitchell in the fourth quarter. And Oregon did hold on for a 7-6 dub over MSU. Quarterback Brian Lewerke completed 22 of 40 passes for 172 yards and did have one really bad interception. It's the third time in four games that Michigan State has failed to score a touchdown, as I just noted. Running back LJ Scott, I think he was one of the very few positives in this game for Michigan State. LJ Scott ran for 84 yards on 24 carries, ending his injury-riddled season with the Spartans on a high note. After being limited to five games, Michigan State will begin the 2019 campaign with a home game against Tulsa on August 31st. But as promised, more on the Michigan State loss to Oregon in the Red Box Bowl in just a moment. Also, again, Michigan State men's basketball starts the new year with a return to Big Ten Conference play, hosting Northwestern at the Breslin Center. Tonight, 8:30 p.m. is your tip time. No, students are not back on campus. And it's always a bit weird because when you're attending a normal Michigan State men's basketball game, when the students are on campus, of course, you have the Izzone bringing the energy from tip time all the way until that game is done. It's a bit weird when the students are away, like right now for the holidays, because you just have, you know, your normal Michigan State fan filling that lower bowl, and just the energy, it lacks. I'm just going to keep it real. It does lack. So anybody who is attending tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game, hey, do the students some justice and go crazy for your Spartans tonight. Big game as Northwestern comes to town. Michigan State winners of its last six games, 10 of the last 11 overall, enters the game tonight with an 11-2 overall record, 2-0 mark in the Big Ten. The Spartans are ranked number 8 in the country in the Associated Press poll, number 7 in the USA Today coaches poll. Northwestern, winners of 3 of its last 4 games, enters the game with a 9-4 overall record and an 0-2 mark in the league. All right, Michigan State women's basketball news. As Jenna Allen and Nia Clouden both captured Big Ten honors on Monday, as announced by the league office, Allen earned Big Ten Player of the Week accolades, while Clouden garnered Freshman of the Week honors. This is Allen's second Player of the Week award this season and second of her career. Clouden captured her first Freshman of the Week honor and became the first Spartan to earn the award since Victoria Coco Gaines did so on this day last year, January 2nd of 2017. So congratulations to both Jenna Allen and Nia Clouden. All right, Michigan State hockey went against Michigan hockey and played to a 2-2 tie in the third place game of the Great Lakes Invitational on Monday afternoon at Little Caesars Arena. MSU goaltender Drew DeRitter, he made a career-high 45 saves MSU is now 1-0-2 against U of M this year. Michigan State is back in action this weekend at home as the Spartans will play host to number 7 Ohio State Friday at 7 p.m. and then on Saturday, 8 p.m. at Munn Ice Arena. And as I just noted, the Detroit Lions announced that they will not renew the contract of offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter after the offense sputtered throughout head coach Matt Patricia's first season with the franchise. Cooter had been the Lions offensive coordinator for 3.5 seasons, remaining with the team during the transition from former head coach Jim Caldwell to Matty Patty after last year. Now, the offense never really materialized, despite 3 first-round picks and 2 highly touted free agents on the offensive line. So, Jim Bob Cooter is out as the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator. More on that later on this hour as well. And how about this news? The Detroit Lions have added a familiar face to the team's offseason depth chart, signing former MSU quarterback Connor Cook to a reserve future contract. Now, a reserve future deal is typically a league minimum contract with no guarantees. It does not count against a team's salary cap until the start of the new league year in March. The Lions got an extended look at Cook this past offseason during a pair of joint practices and a preseason matchup with Cook's former team, that being the Oakland Raiders. Playing a significant portion of that game, he completed 11 of 19 throws for 141 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. And a big shout out to the man behind the glass who is chipping in on today's current sports, Brad Walker, our very own Brad Walker. And Brad, you know, this is news that certainly you know a lot about firsthand, seeing as though you are a huge Oakland Raiders fan.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Oakland Raiders fan. And you were actually hoping that Connor Cook possibly would, you know, get a shot at maybe the starting role with your Raiders. That never, of course, panned out. And you've seen Connor play, and I think this is a good move for him, because we were both wondering whether or not Cook would ever get another shot in the league, right?
You know, I didn't think he would be the starter for the Raiders with Carr there. So,
right.
You know, backup role would have been fine with me. But, you know, he moved on to Cincinnati after the Raiders, and then he moved on to Carolina. Then Cincinnati, and yep. I didn't even know he was released from Cincinnati, and all of a sudden they signed him to with Detroit. So congrats to him, and who knows?
We'll see what happens. And again, it's a reserve future deal. So league minimum contract,
right.
League minimum. But and it also, it doesn't count against the team's salary cap until the start of that new league year, which will begin in March. So we'll see what happens. If Cook, you know, works his tail off, we'll see what happens. But again, talking about Derek Carr, I mean, let's be real here. Connor Cook isn't going to be the next starting quarterback of the Detroit Lions, all right? Matthew Stafford is still the guy. He's still one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. But more on that story later on this hour as well. The Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight on the road, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Pistons are now 3 games below 500 at 16-19 overall. Memphis at an even keel, 518-18. The Pistons have not been playing great basketball as of late. And, you know, you look at this game, this is the second game of a back-to-back, both on the road and against one of the really mild surprises of the season, as the Grizzlies were horrible last season. But you get a healthy Mike Conley and also Mark Gasol. And how about rookie MSU product Jaren Jackson Jr., who is having a very solid first year in the league. Memphis is right back in the thick of things, trying to make a playoff spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Pistons fell in this one yet again. All right, back-to-back games, yeah, I don't know. All right, the Detroit Red Wings will take on the Calgary Flames tonight at home, 7 p.m. The winged wheel sits at 15-19-7. Calgary at 24-12-4. And the Wings ring in the new year, losers of their last 5 against the Pacific Division leaders. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to be a part of the hour, I want to hear your thoughts on, you know, our very first topic of the hour, that being what we saw happen on New Year's Eve as your Michigan State football team could not get anything going offensively. A tremendous effort, and it has been a tremendous effort from that Michigan State defense all year. They held one of the highest scoring offenses in the nation in the Oregon Ducks to just a touchdown. But again, you got to score points to win games, right? And that just did not happen. Just two field goals for MSU. I want to get your thoughts on that game, and also want to ask a question. Seeing as though you just heard that the Detroit Lions have decided to move on from offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter, and we all know how well documented the struggles of this Detroit Lions offense was this year, I'm curious to know, which offense are you more confident in come next season? Michigan State or the Detroit Lions? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see many of you already weighing in at facebook.com/WKAR News. I'll get to your comments later on. And you can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, happy new year to you all. It is 2019. Hope you guys had a good one with family and friends ushering in a new year. I hope that this is something I do, and many of you do, I'm sure, as we usher in a new year. But you have New Year's resolutions, right, and goals, you know. And, you know, we kind of touched on that last week with Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training, because a lot of, I should say, many people out there who set New Year's resolution goals, at the top of that list is getting fit, getting healthy, getting in the gym. So I'm just here to encourage you all. It's a new year. You got a clean slate. Go after what you want in life. Pursue those dreams, because life is far, far too short. And speaking of life being short, I do want to pass along this news. I saw this news just a moment before we went live at 1 p.m., but Mean Gene Okerlund, that name should ring a bell, sports fans, because he's just an icon. I should say was an icon in professional wrestling. Mean Gene Okerlund, who, you know, he's interviewed some of the biggest names in the world of professional wrestling, and his name has become synonymous with professional wrestling. He has sadly passed away. That announcement was made by the WWE today. He was 76 years old. And this dude, I mean, he stood next to the likes of Hulk Hogan, woo, Ric Flair, Randy Macho Man Savage, Andre the Giant. He both worked, you know, before the merger happened with the WCW and the WWF to create, of course, the WWE. I mean, he worked in both avenues, the WCW and the WWF at the time. So Mean Gene Okerlund passing away at the age of 76. All right, folks, a lot to get to. And we start the discussion portion of Current Sports with Michigan State football. And Spartan fans, you should be feeling some type of way right now about what occurred in the year of 2018. You know, after that game was said and done in the Red Box Bowl against Oregon, I tweeted, Michigan State fans, Mark D'Antonio, his entire staff, and the players, the entire MSU football program should be rejoicing now that the 2018 year is said and done. Because that is the kind of season that you look back and you regret a lot. And you say you can play the what-if game left and right. But that's the type of year with the expectations that Michigan State football had coming into this season to finish it out the way they finished it out against Oregon in the Red Box Bowl, it was an embarrassment. It really was. Now, I'll start with the good here, because the obvious good, you guys know where I'm going with this. That was a special Michigan State defense. That is the kind of defense that wins you some trophies. And, you know, you look at Oregon. This is an offense that was averaging 37 points per game. 37! And Michigan State's defense comes in and holds the Ducks 7 points below their average. Well, 30 points, but excuse me, 30 points below their average. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. And, you know, you sit there and evaluate what happened in that game. And this game was just a microcosm of what we had seen all throughout the 2018 year for Michigan State football. Stout defense that could hold and compete with any team, I believe, in the nation. With maybe the exception of what, like Alabama? Because Alabama is just a freaking nature team that's on another level, right? And I just sat there and said to myself, I mean, if it was not for this Michigan State defense, just imagine if Michigan State had like an average or below average defense for that matter. Can you imagine what Michigan State's record would have been? Bowl game? I don't think Michigan State would have went to a bowl game. Maybe would have won with 3, maybe 4 games. If you had that kind of offense with a below or average Michigan State defense, I mean, because this was a world-class defense. And if there are any players that I feel bad for, if there is anyone on this team that I really feel for when it comes to this team performing way below our expectations, it's those who play on the defensive side of the football, because they laid it all out there. Tremendous season. Guys like Joe Bocci, guys like Kari Willis, guys like Kenny Willekes, who, by the way, did you see the news that came out after that game about Kenny Willekes? And that is why you are starting to see so many players out there who are top-tier talent. Now, I believe that there was still going to be a really good chance that Kenny Willekes was going to return to Michigan State next season. But let's just say, can you just imagine if Kenny Willekes already had it in his mind with the kind of year that he had, that he was going to take his talent to the NFL? Because, I mean, he really moved up on those NFL draft boards. Kenny Willekes broke his leg in that game, folks. If he was really set on going to the NFL, playing in a game like that, a meaningless Red Box Bowl game, and breaking his leg, that would have certainly hurt him. That would have certainly did some damage to his stock, but that's neither here nor there. Michigan State's defense was state of the art. One of the best defenses in the nation. A top 10 tier defense. Spoiled by a Michigan State offense that has numerous problems. It's just like, you know, pick an area. Now, granted, the injuries don't help. Michigan State this year, it was just, you talk about bad luck. So many injuries to key players this season. Now, I think for that offense, you know, the guy who routinely made the injury-riddled Brian Lewerke look so good in Felton Davis III, when he went down, that was arguably the biggest loss of the year for that offense. Felton Davis being among the best receivers in the nation. Felton Davis, when he was healthy, in my opinion, being the best receiver in the Big Ten Conference. When he went down, no longer did Brian Lewerke have a safe haven to throw to. And Brian Lewerke. Oh, Brian Lewerke. Let's just briefly touch on Brian Lewerke, because, one, I'll say this, and this is something that we discussed last week, and heck, it is something I brought up this entire year. If there was any indication that Brian Lewerke was not 100%. I said last week if the man was 99.9%, he should not play. Rest him up. Get him ready for next season. Brian Lewerke did not look healthy to me on Monday afternoon. Brian Lewerke looked like the same old Brian Lewerke that we have seen throughout much of this year. Brian Lewerke is not 100%. When looking at him closely on Monday, I didn't think he was anywhere near 100%. And then, I'm not saying that to let Brian off the hook, because this is the big thing with me. Brian Lewerke may not have been 100% in that game, but you know something that you can criticize Brian Lewerke on? As a quarterback, as a leader of this team, his decision-making, folks. You don't have to have a 100% healthy arm to do what is right during a normal play. And we could go on and on about the decision-making of Brian Lewerke in that game against Oregon. Heck, this entire season, to be honest with you, this is a year. You talk about someone who's happy to see 2019. I don't know if there's anybody on that MSU football roster that is more happy to turn the page on what happened last year in 2018 than Brian Lewerke. But decision-making. You know, we could talk about the big play that I saw a few media outlets nominating this play as the worst play of the college football year. Brian Lewerke fumbling the snap. Yeah, oh, it's like the tides have turned now. Oh, he has trouble with the snap. Brian Lewerke had trouble with the snap. Decides to, you know, pick the football up, rolling to his right. Doesn't just take the loss and just eat dirt. He decides to play hero ball. Lofts the ball up mindlessly to the right sideline. Interception. I couldn't believe it. I mean, dude, you fall into the ground. Take the sack. Or if you're going to throw it, be sure that that ball is going to sail out of bounds. That's decision making. That isn't a question of health. That's decision making, folks. How many times did we see Brian Lewerke in that game on Monday as well force the ball into double coverage? He could have been picked off way more than one time in that game. Brad Walker and I were talking about this before the start of the show, and I got into a big debate with my cousins about this because at first it looked like it was so bad, it looked like a planned fake at first. But when the replay was shown, you talk about having trouble with the snap. Brian Lewerke has trouble with the snap yet again. Can't get the football down in the grass and plant it in time for Matt Coughlin to have an attempt, which would have been a really tough, long field goal try, but at least give him a shot. You know, it would have been like 50 yards. But he can't plant the football down to give him a chance. And then after that, it's like panic. You know, oh, my goodness, I got to make something out of this. So Brian had to pick the football up. You know, I believe he rolled to his right. Just throw it up to any Michigan State jersey that's down there. At that point, just loft it up and try and make something happen. He didn't. Goes out of bounds. Wasted play. And I don't know why Brian wasn't pulled. When looking at the kind of start that he had, I don't know why Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff didn't say, all right, he clearly doesn't have it. We can't do anything right now. It's really hard for us to move the football. Brian isn't 100%. His decision-making is not up to par, up to standard where we need him to be. Why don't we just throw on Rocky Lombardi and just see what he can give us? I just don't get it. I don't understand. If every Michigan State fan from here to Pluto can see what the big problem, I think at the end of the day, Brad, for me, that offensive line as well is so bad. That offensive line, a lot of injuries on that offensive line. They could get no push, which was amazing to me. I think if anybody on that offense that you can shine a positive light on, without a doubt, it's L.J. Scott. I mean, L.J. Scott, he looked good. L.J. Scott looked healthy. We saw him with a few spin moves, a few jukes. It was hard to get him down. I think this is the kind of game LJ Scott wanted to try and help bolster his NFL draft stock come later on this year when the combine rolls around and when we do have the NFL draft. I think LJ Scott improved his draft stock with his performance. Not that he could have cracked the 100-yard mark if it was a different type of offensive scheme late in that game. I mean, Michigan State, I think, went into kind of panic mode. They went away from the run game because they didn't want to, you know, eat up a lot of clock. They started to put an emphasis on allowing Brian Lewerke to throw it through the air more. But I think if we saw the same game plan that we saw at the beginning of the game, LJ Scott would have went over the 100-yard mark. He was great. I had no problems with LJ Scott, but it's tough when you don't have an offensive line to run through. That's also a big problem. Michigan State's offensive line, horrid. Didn't give Brian any real time in the pocket as well. There were some drops from some receivers in that game as well. So I'm not putting this all on the shoulder of Brian Lewerke, or on the arm, pun intended, on Brian Lewerke, right? Because again, I don't think Brian should have played. That's just my humble opinion. Dave Warner, I'm going to get to him in just a second. I'm going to save my Dave Warner rant until on the other side of the break. But I just want to get your thoughts on what I just had to say, Brad. What was going through your mind watching that game? What are your thoughts on Brian and I tell you what, I don't know. It seems like it reminds me. Have you ever seen the movie Space Jam with Michael Jordan?
Yes.
You know. There's a part in that movie where these top tier NBA players get their talent sucked away from these aliens, right, from outer space. And I think right now, again, I know he's injured, but when you look at just the other intangibles that you see in a quarterback, number one, in my opinion, being decision making, that all stems from confidence, Brad. I feel like Brian Lewerke has had his power sucked by some aliens or something, dude, because he looks so unconfident. He does not look like the same quarterback that we saw lead Michigan State to a double-digit win season just the year prior to go to the Holiday Bowl and bring it against Washington State. I don't know who that dude is that we saw behind center on Monday. Granted, I know he's injured, but still, I don't know who Brian Lewerke is right now, man. And I really feel bad for the guy because we've seen him play some good football. But Brad, go ahead, man.
You know, he's playing injured and the confidence level is just not there for him. So why the staff doesn't just say, Brian, we'll see you next year, get it recuperated, get that arm looked at and get better next year. We'll put you in there next year. This is over. This is done. Let's throw in Rocky. He's just not confident.
No. When you have an injury to your throwing arm.
Yeah, he has no confidence in his arm of what he's going to do
with
that arm.
Right.
And with LJ, you know, he still averaged under 4 yards a carry. But those 84 yards was with a line that was not very good.
Could you
imagine if we had a line that was good?
Right.
We're talking 150 yards probably.
Exactly. I agree.
And a win.
Yeah, and a win. That's very true.
I will say this about Brian. He did throw for more yards than Justin Herbert did.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that weird?
Brian had 172. I think Justin had like something like 166.
Yeah.
I mean, that truly is amazing. And both QBRs, I looked at both QBRs after the game. I mean, Brian had a QBR of 21.5. Justin had a QBR of 26.9.
With those stats, we're lucky that Brian Lewerke's coming back for his next season.
Right,
just
exactly.
Like Justin Herbert is.
Exactly. And, you know, you look at Herbert, and this is a guy, Justin Herbert, this just shows you how good this MSU defense has been this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Justin Herbert, if he was to go to the NFL, he was pegged to be a possible top five pick. A lot of people thought he was going to go number one overall, the top quarterback prospect in the draft. But he's coming back next season. But if he was to go, and Michigan State's defense made him look pedestrian,
right?
Made him look average. And you can see, I mean, when you look at Justin, some of those throws he made, he was able to make out of the, you know, 19 of 33s. Some of those 19 completions were pretty impressive. And I didn't realize how big Justin Herbert was. I mean, when watching him stand in the pocket, I mean, this dude is 6'6", 233. I mean, he stands tall. He looks right over the defense. And yet Michigan State was still able to frustrate him, play in and play out. All right, what I want to do, I want to get your calls on this. What are your thoughts on what you saw from your Michigan State football team on New Year's Eve at the Red Box Bowl? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. We'll hit our first break. When we come back, I want to take a look at 2019 and give you my thoughts on what should have happened in the offseason to try and make some kind of improvements to this horrific MSU offense. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have centered our show on the Michigan State football loss to the Oregon Ducks. A riveting 7-6 final at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California at the Red Box Bowl. Because a big debate that we had here on Current Sports as well is how many Spartan fans, how many fans in general, we're going to be in the house at Levi's Stadium for this game. And not going to lie, Brad, it was pretty embarrassing. I mean, when that camera, I'm shocked that they had the gusto, that Fox Sports had the gusto to show the entire stadium midway through the game. I didn't think they were going to use that camera shot, but I said, all right, well, we might as well. It's up there. We got an aerial view of Levi's Stadium. And when they showed that aerial view, It wasn't even half full. Now, the attendance is generous, I think, here. The official attendance for the Red Box Bowl, according to ESPN, listed as 30,212. 30,000, Brad? Now, this is Levi's Stadium. The capacity of Levi's Stadium is 68,500 people. They're basically saying it was at least somewhere close to half full. No. I mean, if you had to guess, Brett, how many fans would you say was at that game at the Red Box Bowl, man?
Jeez, I couldn't think of. Oh,
I don't know. Maybe
I don't know either. I think some camera guy fell asleep at the job and did the aerial view, and they said, "Hey, go to that one."
Right,
that
exactly.
View. Oh, whoops!
It was bad. It was really bad.
It was like the upper deck at Spartan Stadium.
Exactly. You know what it reminded me of? You remember that game 2 years ago, Michigan State, Penn State, the rain out, the rain delay.
Yeah.
From like 12 noon, and they resume play 6 hours later, and then they let fans back in. Yeah. That's what it looked like at Levi's Stadium. You know, fans who just kind of trickled in and said, all right, I might as well catch this game, right? You know, it's going on. I have nothing else to do.
At least there was an excuse with the rainstorm.
Exactly. There was an excuse there.
It was a nice day. It was a little windy, but it was a nice day.
I mean, it is California, but not many Spartan fans. I said this. Not many Spartan fans who live in this area here in the Midwest. We're looking at this game and saying, you know what?
I need to get there.
New Year's Eve. This sounds like a great New Year's Eve plan. Let me go out and check out this horrid Michigan State offense against the Oregon Ducks out in California. Let me spend all this moolah on a plane ticket to go to Santa Clara, California at Levi's Stadium. If you were in the house as a Spartan fan and you travel here from the Midwest to that game, you are the biggest Michigan State fan I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And props to you. Props to you. Before I make some thoughts, give you my take on this whole Dave Warner situation, because that's the next big topic here, right? I do want to go to our phone lines. A man who has been waiting patiently, Ray from Indiana, wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, man?
Big Al, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Happy 2019 to you, Ray.
Oh man, what a New Year's Eve party I had after watching the Bullies get bullied all over the stadium by the Gators. Just ate them up and spit them out.
They did, didn't they? And that's the thing about Michigan State fans, too. I had a lot of fans, a lot of my buddies, Ray, were sitting there saying, oh man, you know, Michigan State, I mean, we feel like we can beat Oregon. Man, if Michigan State wins their bowl game and, and looking at, you know, how bad the Michigan outing was against Florida, this is great. But both Michigan and Michigan State looked horrible in their bowl games, Ray. It was really bad. Really bad, man.
Well, you know what? Now, Jimmy, they quit on you again. You can't get them to play for you anymore, Jimmy. They know you can't coach. They know you can't coach. You're 1-9 against top 10 teams. You remember Daryl Rogers that coached your team, and then he went to the Lions
for
7 years? Mm-hmm. After the fifth year, he said, what the hell's the guy got to do around here to get fired?
Right. I remember that quote. That's his famous quote.
I remember that quote, too. It took him 2 more years after that to fire him. It's just like Jimmy Harbaugh. He's 1-9. Jimmy, let me tell you something, Jimmy. You're in a wet hornet nest, and you better get out of there before you get stung all over your body. You better get out while you can, Jimmy, because one more year and you're fired for sure.
All right. Spoken from the true. Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much, man.
All right, buddy.
I think he's got one more year. I think it all depends on what happens. It all depends on what happens with Jim Harbaugh, because I looked at that game, too, and I said, oh, my goodness, 41-15. Now, granted, you know, Michigan did have four of its best weapons not in this game, you know, deciding to forego the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and get ready for the NFL Combine. But still, 41-15, when you were favored in this game, when you are the higher-ranked team coming into that matchup, pretty embarrassing. Pretty embarrassing. And that can't fly. That can't fly out in Ann Arbor. So Jim Harbaugh has a lot of work to do. All right, real quick here. Dave Warner. That's been a big topic. That's what you guys want to get to, right? Dave Warner this, Dave Warner that. Immediately after the game, you know, I had many of you, you know, hitting me up on social media and saying, this is it. I mean, Dave Warner has to be let go. You can't perform the way that offense performed on Monday afternoon and expect to stay around come 2019. And we all know the story. You know, D'Antonio, loyal to a fault. And I tell you this, I'm with you guys. Those who say that, I have been. I mean, this is not new here. For those who have said that Michigan State needs to do something different and move away from Dave Warner, because clearly it's not working, I am right there with you. The big question is, will it happen? Because Mark D'Antonio, the man is loyal. I mean, he is the most loyal dude here to the East Mississippi, dude. I just don't understand it. And at some point, you know, we have to start looking at this and not solely pointing the finger at Dave Warner, but looking at the man who employs Dave Warner. Because I don't know, and, you know, D'Antonio was asked after the game, I don't know if you guys caught the press conference after that Michigan State loss, but, you know, Mark D'Antonio was asked by the media whether or not there will be changes to your coaching staff. And I believe that D'Antonio's response may give Michigan State fans who believe that there does need to be a change away from Dave Warner as the offensive coordinator. I think that D'Antonio's response of, well, I think it's a bit unfair to, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, it's a bit unfair to answer that right now. And I get that response because it's immediately after you lose in a game that I really thought that Michigan State should have won. You know, you lose in the Red Box Bowl. You know, this season has had tremendous downs when it comes to this offense. But the mere fact that D'Antonio didn't come out and totally axe it, because he's done that in the past when asked about his coaching staff. Look, I expect everybody to come back next season. These are my guys. I ride or die with my guys. The fact that he immediately didn't come out and trump that notion, I think it should give some Michigan State fans out there who want change, who want to move away from Dave Warner, or who, you know, maybe he does. This would be so D'Antonio for me, Brad. And I think we've talked about this. If anything, I think D'Antonio is so loyal that he won't let go of Dave Warner. What Coach D will probably do, Brad, if he's going to make a change, is keep him on the staff, right?
give him another title, another role, and he'll bring in a new voice to be the guy to lead that offense. But Dave will still be on the staff because that's his guy, helping in some way, shape, form, or capacity. Wouldn't that be so, D'Antonio, Brad? It really would. And, you know, you look at this team now going forward next season. One, you got to figure out this quarterback thing. Because, you know, you look at what happened this season. That can't be the calling card next year. If you have a quarterback who is not getting the job done, you can't be afraid, because D'Antonio is loyal to his players as well. And I think, and you heard this a lot too, you heard this dialogue coming from Coach D'Antonio. Well, if you look at the track record that Brian Lewerke has had, and he's played in big games and in big time moments, that's our guy. That's being loyal to a fault as well. That's the past. D'Antonio is living in the past right now. If it's broke, you got to fix it. And that didn't happen this year. Now, I'm not saying that Rocky Lombardi is the savior either, because I think, you know, Rocky is young. Sure, he had moments this season. And I really do believe that Rocky Lombardi gave Michigan State the best chance to win in comparison to a hurt Brian Lewerke, because Brian Lewerke was hurt the majority of this season. But Rocky Lombardi, I mean, that's the thing with a young quarterback. You're going to have some growing pains that you are going to have to deal with when discussing a young quarterback like Rocky. Rocky's decision-making, sure, he's got a strong arm, but he's not the most accurate quarterback. I mean, we saw many overthrows, a few underthrows. He can make things happen with his legs. I really like that. He's incredibly tough. Love his personality. He's got the quarterback swagger. But, you know, we'll see what kind of improvements he makes in the offseason. But I don't know if he's the answer either. There is a real question mark when it comes to the position behind center now for Michigan State. And then the offensive line, riddled with injuries. It helps that Michigan State now is bringing in, the future of the offensive line looks fantastic for the Spartans, knock on wood, right? Because, you know, Mark D'Antonio went on record during early signing day to say that this incoming offensive line class is the best offensive line class that he has had in his entire tenure as head coach of the Michigan State football program. But that means nothing if you don't have a quarterback who can lead your offense. It means nothing. And it means nothing if you don't have an offensive coordinator who can open up that playbook, because I tell you what, watching the majority of that game on Monday, it was the perfect synopsis of what we saw all season. You know, and I think it strangles you as an offensive coordinator as well when you don't have a healthy quarterback, because you don't want to open it up. You don't want to open up the playbook for a Brian Lewerke who can't launch the ball down the field. I mean, your hands are tied as to what to do. And I think when we saw, especially that first quarter, it was like run, 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 punt. Oh, we got the ball back. All right. Run. Should we? No, we're gonna, no, we're not going to pass here. Run. Run. Punt. Oh, we got the ball back again. Okay. All right. Let's try a pass here. Pass. Oh, no, that didn't work. Run, run, punt. I mean, it was so run heavy, which, again, it helped LJ Scott. I think LJ Scott had a great game, but the playbook didn't open up. And it hasn't opened up multiple games throughout that 2018 year until it was like desperation mode when you had to make a drive to stay competitive or to possibly go ahead in the game. It shouldn't be like that. Dave Warner's play calling has been questionable for a long, long time, and it's clearly not working. And in his defense, I do believe that, you know, I think earlier on in the season, Dave Warner did want Rocky Lombardi as a starting quarterback. Judging from the tone of Mark D'Antonio, he wasn't ready to put in Rocky Lombardi. He was ready to just ride this thing out with Brian Lewerke. That hinders the job you can do as well. I understand that. But to put it simply, Dave Warner did not know how to inspire and move this offense. And again, if it's broke, you got to fix it. And the way you fix it is by moving on from Dave Warner. It's in our final break. When we come back, I'll talk about a move that the Detroit Lions made and I think the Michigan State football team should make. Moving on from offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter. That and more will put a bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports when we come back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports as we have just under 10 minutes left in the hour. I want to read a few of your comments at facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you weighing in on what you saw on Monday, New Year's Eve, Michigan State losing to the Oregon Ducks, that Michigan State offense, a complete eyesore. So what should happen? What should happen? Ben weighs in and says, time to fire Dave Warner. The Lions fired Jim Bob Cooter yesterday. Let's keep the ball rolling. Ben, who is, you know, he's an avid listener of Current Sports. Ben has been saying that all year. Going on to say here, another comment from Ben, the offensive play calling against Oregon was horrendous. Also, a dear friend of the show, Anthony Iani, paging Matt Canada, paging Major Applewhite. So, yeah, paging Adam Gase. No, LOL. So, yeah, we're getting a lot of a lot of comments on our Facebook page. Romero says, I agree with you, Al. Brian should not have played in that game. And that's also that's negligence on the side of the Michigan State coaches, primarily Mark D'Antonio. I mean, putting Brian in a position, you are literally, this is what you're doing. You are literally putting Brian Lewerke in a position to fail. Period. That's not fair to Brian Lewerke. It's just not. I mean, I can just imagine. I said this all season. Can you just imagine if Brian Lewerke would have, like, fallen, you know, taken a sack and fallen on that already injured shoulder, injuring it more? Who's that on? That would have been on Mark D'Antonio's hands. I don't get that. I don't know why we didn't see Rocky. Got me on that one. I'm with you, Romero, there. And then Ben, man, Ben's really going in. Dave Warner needs to be terminated. and Tony weighs in and says, time to hold Coach D accountable. Tony goes on to say, fire the entire offensive staff except the wide receivers coach. So, yeah, there you have that. Fans are fed up, and I can't argue with you. Change needs to happen. And this loyalty that Coach D has, it will end up costing him many more wins and losses if he does not make a change. Okay, 4 minutes left, 517-355-WKAR. If you want to call in, it'll have to be really, really lightning fast quick. you put this in my rundown, Brad, as far as Michigan State looking for an offensive coordinator. You said Jim Bob Cooter is available to be offensive coordinator for Michigan State. How do you evaluate? I'm going to ask you this question, Brad, the question I had at the top of the hour. Which offense do you feel more confident in come next season, Michigan State's offense or the Detroit Lions?
Do I have to answer that question?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. That's tough.
I would have to go with the Lions.
I would have to go with the Lions,
yeah,
as well.
I would.
They have at least made a move here, you know, to move away from Jim Bob Cooter, who I was shocked that Jim was kept on Matt Patricia's staff, mm-hmm, because that was, you know, that was Jim Caldwell's guy. So I was shocked that Jim kept his job. But when you look at the Lions, I mean, they do have a quarterback. No matter how you may feel about Matthew Stafford, I still believe that Matthew Stafford is an above-average quarterback in the league. Is he overpaid? Yeah, he's overpaid. But we've seen Matthew Stafford play some good, really good football in the past. This is still a former Pro Bowl quarterback in the National Football League. He needs pieces around him. He needs pieces around him to be successful. And that's any quarterback for that matter, right? Unless you're Tom Brady, who can make anybody look good, right? But, you know, the Lions are just figuring out this run game. Kerryon Johnson, though, did get injured near the end of the season. Golden Tate was traded, and that hurt Matthew Stafford at the middle part of the year. But I still believe, you know, when you look at this offense for the Detroit Lions, they are way ahead of where Michigan State is trying to get. So I'm with you on that, Brad. It's definitely the Detroit Lions. Is it the right move for the Lions? I think so. You know, and on tomorrow's show, I really want to dive into this because it's a conversation that we had, I believe, like somewhere around midway of the Detroit Lions season. And, you know, we talked about whether or not it was the right move to hire Matt Patricia. Now, hindsight, I know it's 2020. Hindsight is certainly 2020. And it's easy to look back and say, yeah, well, you know, Jim Caldwell at least got you to the playoffs, right? You know, Jim Caldwell could have did a much better job than this season. I want to revisit that conversation to make a few points there, okay? We'll also have a complete recap of tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game against Northwestern. Again, for those attending that game, that is an 8:30 p.m. tip time. So a bit of a late start for those who will be heading down to the Breslin. Maybe give you some time to go get a bite to eat or something like that. And then, you know, maybe a quick nap and then head to the Breslin Center. But we'll have a complete recap of what happens tonight at the Breslin Center with Tom Izzo's troops. That and more on the Thursday edition of Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin reminding you to always be easy, people.